This is a replay of the Tuesday night Cinco de Mayo WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP for the world's best customer service. It's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 big hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it will be on mine. We'll play your requests as well. A lot more than 11 of them, but we'll get 11 of them done, hopefully with some bumpers tonight. Now, that said, several of things I thought were worthy of discussion. But the first one, I had to laugh because I just now, literally within minutes, hung up the phone on the fraud department of the credit card company. You see, what happened was, and all good stories start that way, don't they? You see, what happened was, I was looking at email earlier and saw a fraud alert. It was a fraud alert from a credit card company, and of course, it would have to be the one where I've got the number memorized, right? So I can use it online and not have to look it up. I know the CBP, I know the zip code, I know the number, right? Of course. And so I look at this and I say, yep, that's fraud. Never saw it before. So it, of course, instructs you to go online and do a fraud report. So I dutifully go online, and I don't even get to see my account. The first thing it says, we think there's been fraud on your card. And I'm thinking, yeah, no kidding, Sherlock. And they said, do you recognize any of these charges? And there was yet another one that was completely outside of anything I've ever seen before. So I dutifully say, yeah, I don't recognize this either. And I fill this out. Okay, now I figure that's the end of my story. And I go back about half hour later and log on because I want to make sure there's no balance on the card at the moment or I'll pay it off, that kind of thing. Well, I can't get into the account. The reason I can't get into the account is it says we need the last 4 digits of your credit card. Well, of course, the only one I have is the one they've just canceled. So I give them the last 4 digits of that, and they dutifully tell me in their automated voice that, no, that's your last credit card. Yeah, I know. We need your new one. I'm like, what do you think I am, Houdini? You know, Miss Cleo? How the hell do I know what number you're going to assign to me? So then it says, when I, punch in the old number and it tells me this, call this number for help. All right. It would have been kinder if they just said, go to hell. All right. It would have been more effective, too. So I call this number for help. And the first number woman confirms that, yes, there's been fraud charges. Okay. And yes, I already told her it's been all reported. There's nothing for you to do. I just need to get into the account and say, oh, well, I need to connect you with the fraud department. So you wait about 20 minutes for that. And you finally get somebody who explains to you everything you know. Right? A new card is being mailed to you. I know that. And et cetera and so forth. And I said, I know that. What I want to know is what it says on the screen. Call this number for the code so I can unlock my account. She said, well, the code is the last 4 digits of your new card number. I said, yes, the one I do not have yet. Well, yes. So how do I get into my account? Well, did you try putting the old card number? And I said, yes, that's how I got your phone number. And so this goes round and round literally until 10:02 in Central Time, but 2 minutes into the news, into David Jennings, and I'm still on the phone with them, and they're still telling me the same thing. I love this. This is my favorite part. Well, within 48 hours, your new card number will be posted to your account so you can see it then. You know, at that point, I'm just looking at the phone. And I said, and I calmly say, "If I can't get into the account, how can I see the number?" And she again says, "Oh, it's going to be there in 48 hours. Completely not understanding the conundrum here. And so and so it was. I thanked her for her lack of help and hung up. And here I am doing the show. But I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me with that lack of logic. And the good thing is, I love credit cards because you're not responsible for fraud other than $50 per event if you don't report it. But if you do, you're not responsible for anything, unlike debit cards and things like that. But literally, it didn't impart confidence to me in this particular credit card company, who will remain nameless. But you know, so many of them are just awful these days. All right, so that was my big disturbance here in the last 20 minutes, and I'm telling you this not to vent as much as to know this has happened to you. I'm sure of it. So if you've got any stories, I want to hear them. 888-876-5593. Now, the next thing is Engineer Bob sends me these wonderful links and how embarrassed I am. Let me back up before I get to that embarrassment, although what I'm about to tell you is even worse. I poisoned myself Friday. And I did. It was my fault. You know, John is always telling me, well, if things are greatly expired, don't eat them. And there are obvious things you know, like lettuce, all right? There's things that you're just not going to eat. There's no way. There's other things that you think are going to last a lifetime. And in the case of, say, dried pasta, maybe they do. I don't know. But the issue in question was a can of Skyline chili and spaghetti. And you know how I love Skyline chili. And I thought, well, it only expired in 2016. What's 10 years? The can's not bulging. It's not bent. What's the problem? And so I open it, and it doesn't fizz when it opens. And there's nothing about it that tells me it's a problem. And I put it in the bowl and mix it up and microwave it and proceed to eat about half of it. When I start to think something's not right, and I wasn't sure exactly what it was then, but within 12 hours I knew. And my first thought was, please, dear Lord, don't let it be botulism, because I'm not going to the hospital and explaining this. But for a good 24 hours, I was in utter hell, and I deserved every bit of it. I mean, you know, come on, 2016 and I'm eating it. So, yeah, I deserved it. But that said, what I realized after I came to, so to speak, yeah, when I could once again walk a day later and didn't have to live in the bathroom, I thought, well, I'm going to follow John's advice and I'm going to get rid of everything that is questionable. And I'll tell you what, big garbage cans, you know, you leave outside for the truck once a week, I filled it. So on top of everything, I went to the medicine cabinet. And apparently I need to go back there because there are some things I kept that maybe I shouldn't have. Now, that leads into Bob's link to me. Bob had a link, what did people keep in their medicine cabinets in the 1950s? And I looked at this and says, oh my God, there's some of them that were in my medicine cabinet until last night. What, are you kidding me? And so it's not a long list. But the first one on it, and I knew that this shouldn't have been in the medicine cabinet, and granted, I didn't use it, haven't used it for years, but the fact that it's in this medicine cabinet, this survived probably 20 moves. Yes, it's the bright red Mercurochrome. You'll remember that if you're along of tooth. And it was a red-orange color, and it kind of glowed. And you'd put a streak of the liquid on the skin with the glass Doppler, and your mishap was going to get better right away, except, of course, it's off the market now because of how it worked. Mercury. Right. It was developed in the early 20s, and it relied on mercury to stop the spread of bacteria. And that probably worked, but yeah, the mercury poisoning was the side effect, and that didn't work. So now it says it stayed on the shelves as late as 1998. But I think my bottle might have come right from the 50s, but who knows? Finally, it was withdrawn because, no, you're not supposed to be putting mercury on your body. All right. The next one that I saw that I thought, oh, my dear God, and I didn't know what was in it. I really didn't. Honest, that's what I tell the judge if ever something came of it, but I've thrown it out now. Paregoric. Now, I don't know if you remember paregoric, but it was certainly a fixture in the 1950s. And it was liquid, and it was in a little glass bottle, and it was great for stomach aches or anything gastrointestinal. Well, what I didn't, up until 1970, by the way, you did not need a prescription. And I know my bottle was just over-the-counter paregoric. What I didn't know was what was in it. Apparently, it's a tincture, all right, containing opium. All right, so in 1970, they started to require a prescription, but I think that it is going away now. But the opium, I didn't know about. Now, I did know it was distinctive. It was anise, you know, and anise is sort of like licorice. So I never really liked the stuff, so I hadn't used it in years. But who knew it had opium in it? Well, maybe you did. All right, now, what I didn't find, but do remember with a lack of fineness, Dr. Miles Nervine. Oh, yeah, that was tonics were everything. And now, before the 50s, and before I was conscious as far as that goes to know what they were advertising, I didn't realize they were advertising it as something to treat hysteria or epilepsy. But after that, it was promised to relieve sleeplessness or restlessness or tension headaches or nervous irritability. Yes, try Miles Nervine for welcome relief. No barbiturates, no habit-forming drugs. Follow the label. By 1975, they took it off the market, over the counter. Anyway. Why? Bromide. That's the way it worked. Bromide compounds were once upon a time used as sedatives. So I felt better about the fact that I didn't have any of that in my medicine chest. But an old bottle, and I have no idea why. And I've got several old bottles of things like I didn't throw this out, but I probably should have, a bunch of Darbon compound 65. But this was a little bottle. It was Milltown. And I thought, man, I haven't thought of Milltown in decades. And no, there's no way that I would, use it again. I don't know why I moved it, but it's gone now. But the deal with Milltown was it took the edge off life. That's right. They didn't actually say if you're depressed, but that's the bottom line. It was like an early antidepressant, and it was discovered by a Czech scientist who was trying to find ways to preserve penicillin, and instead he came up with something that was more of a muscle relaxant, and it calmed the mind. And so this was big in the 50s, and if you are old enough to remember, Milton Berle had joked he was changing his name to Milltown Berle, and it was just the tranquilizer of choice, and everybody was loving it because it would calm you, but not total sedation. You could functionally exist while soothing life's anxiety. Now, of course, for a while, that was a pharmaceutical gold rush. Everybody had to have it. I don't know that it's off the market. It may not be. If it is, it's probably because it didn't sell long term. Now, while everybody was rushing to it at first, it was short-lived because you saw things like Valium and others soon eclipsing it on the market. So it just kind of went away. But yeah, Lysol. Now, I thought, I got Lysol over the place. It's a disinfectant. They used to market Lysol for feminine hygiene. Yeah, I assume added to a douche. I certainly hope nobody was drinking it, because I understand that Lysol exposure led to 200 poisoning in 1911. But yeah, maybe they were. But feminine hygiene product, they were selling this until the 1960s as a feminine wash. Yes. And some historians claimed that there was a vague way of encouraging the use would be a contraceptive. It didn't do that at all. But what the ads all downplayed was the fact that this is a chemical disinfectant. Yeah, not a gentle personal care product. Yeah, that you're inserting internally. Could irritate or burn tissue and all that. And this did not work out. But what was interesting is they were marketing it until the 1960s. That said, it quietly went away. But as far as home hygiene, not your body, Lysol, of course, bigger than ever. All right, so there's some of it. I won't tell you what else I threw away. Unbelievable. And I'll have to go through that again. But yeah, I had said to John, oh, what could happen? It, you know, come on, no, the can looks fine. Oh, man, was I sick. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We'll pick it up there with your first bumper request. Yes, coming up. And then David in Muskegon wants to talk about radio ownership. Fine with me, coming up on WGN Radio.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things.
I walked in town on silver spurs that jingled too. A song that I had only sang to just a few. She saw my silver spurs and said, let's pass some time, and I will give to you summer wine. Oh, summer wine.
Strawberries, cherries, and an angel's kiss in spring. My summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spurs and help me pass the time, and I will give to you summer wine. Oh, summer.
My eyes grew heavy and my lips, they could not speak.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was Kimberly and Dalton's request, Summer Wine, Nancy Sinatra with Lee Hazelwood. It actually was a B-side, and a 1966 Honor Prize, of course. The A-side was Sugartown. Yeah, Sugartown. You remember that? Yeah. Actually, the follow-up song to that that Lee Hazelwood also wrote, How Does That Grab You, Darling? How Does That Mess Your Mind? I thought it was kind of cute. Anyway, there's the deal, and Lee Hazelwood wrote and produced these, and the interesting thing is that the fact that he sang on the records, he had to get permission because he was signed to MGM at the time. So if you look at the 45s, it'll say Lee Hazelwood with permission of MGM. Yeah, all right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. We'll take us to David in Muskegon right after the news as far as that goes. But I didn't, got about 15 seconds here, and I know if I start talking to David, that's it. I'll blow the entire news. Next new moon is May 16th, 3:01 p.m. Central Daylight. You probably know we had a full moon on May 1st, which means at the end of the month, May 31st, we have another full moon. And of course, since 2 in 1 month, it'll be a blue moon. We will not be playing Blue Moon, at least not tonight, coming up on WGN Radio.
Out prize for life. The other people said, the people are so strange, but people will be people. Will people ever change? Will people ever change?
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Robert Lamb, 1991, and the LP was In My Head, and Will People Ever Change? And yeah, I'm a favorite member of Chicago because of his love for bossa nova, that's for sure. And it was Eric in Minneapolis who wanted to hear that. And Robert Lamb also wrote Another Rainy Day in New York City, which is probably my favorite Chicago single. So there. 888-876-5593. David in Muskegon, what's happening tonight?
Oh, I'm just sitting here listening to you, and you know, I had a question for you. I was wondering how, before 1992, did radio stations, for example, in Detroit, WJR AM 760, okay, along with their FM, yeah, WJR FM 96.3, right, and WXYZ, yeah, AM 1270, yeah, and 101.1 WXYZ,
okay, question,
FM, get away with being owned by ABC, because before 1992, companies could not own more than one AM and FM radio station in a given market. No. They could own stations in up to 10
right,
markets.
Actually, 7 AM, 7 FM, 7 TV, only five of which could be Vs, and that actually was through 1985. It went to 12, 12, and 12 in 86. All right, ABC, just like CBS, were able to own local radio stations, and they did. And, of course, you know, very often they were the 50,000-watt stations, the WABCs or WLSs, so they were within legal limits.
Okay, owning more than one AM station.
No, well, that's all. That's all they did own at that time. They owned an AM and an FM. You could own that. And, of course, this started to broaden after the Telecommunications Act in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was wondering, because WXYZ...
WXYZ was owned by ABC.
Yes, the same as WJR.
No, WJR was owned by Cap Cities.
Oh, it was?
Yes, and absolutely, it was a Cap City station.
Oh, okay, Cap Cities. I'm sorry. Then, so they own Cap. Their AM and FM is owned by Cap Cities.
Yeah,
it was ABC.
Yeah, Capital Cities Corporation, which had some wonderful, wonderful deals. They acquired WJR. In 1964, it was owned by Goodwill Stations before that, and JR was a major station in their portfolio. Then in 96, with the Telecommunications Act, when Walt Disney Company got ABC, that's what combined JR with XYT. But so 64, it was Cap Cities until the merger with Disney. Well, till the ABC deal.
Okay, when Cap Cities merged with...
Well, actually, it was when Cap Cities merged with ABC was the deal, but that was... It was 85, and that was a very interesting thing at that time, actually. A lot was changing. That's when the three-year rule was discontinued. If you remember, this is when Mark Fowler was chairman of the FCC. They got rid of the three-year rule, which had come in the early 60s because of all the people who were, you know, buying and selling real quickly. But the three-year rule was a real dampening effect on venture capital and things like that. The other thing, like I say, it went from 777 to 12, 12, 12. But what happened when ABC and Cap Cities, I say merged, but technically Cap Cities bought ABC, when they did that, it was interesting because the stock of both companies went up. And this is 1985. And at that point in time, you saw a lot of commercial bankers who suddenly were now willing to look at broadcast. Before, the three-year rule and a number of other things kept them out of that market sector. But that Cap Cities ABC generated all sorts of interest. All of a sudden, you had things like Wertheim Schroeder gets a broadcast division and all like that. And so that was very important in terms of history, but you know, not so much in terms of ownership. But so that was the deal.
Okay, and now who is Wertheim Schroeder?
No. Wertheim Schroeder. It's a bank. I can't believe, how do I explain this? It's a bank. You know,
and they bought radio stations?
No, they started a division to concentrate on lending to them, and they had never really done that before. In fact, that's when they had it's Wertheim and Company, and Wertheim, but by the way, in case you're wondering, Wertheim. So today it's Wertheim and Company, and but it's Wertheim Schroeder originally. It was a prominent New York investment bank. Bob Price worked for them for years, but in any way, when they in 1986, when Schroeder acquired half of the interest in Wertheim, Wertheim Schroeder was born, and that's when they hired Gary Stevens from Doubleday to head that division.
The lending division that gave companies that, money to buy radio stations.
Yeah, and television broadcast properties, right. But previously, Bob Price, who of course went out on his own and you know, had bought several radio stations, including WoWo in Fort Wayne, he had been a partner there. So anyway,
okay,
that's the deal.
Now WoWo, that was owned by Westinghouse, and who bought that after Westinghouse sold?
Oh well, see that well originally Bob Price, but it after that is when it got very sad in terms of what happened, because see the problem was WoWo was on 1190. And it had 50,000 nice watts. Well, in New York City, there's also a radio station on 1190, WLIB. And so, obviously, the people who own WLIB wanted more of a signal in New York. And so, in fact, they got it. So they bought WoWo and diminished the signal so they could increase the signal of WLIB.
Now, is that's the station that carried Nation of Islam broadcast?
Well, whatever. It's typical inner-city radio, inner-city broadcasting. And they paid not very much, actually. I think they paid like $2.3 million at the time. That was around 94. And then, of course, they sold it in 97 to Federated. You knew that was going to happen because they only bought it so that they could, in fact, lower the power to increase the power of WLIB.
Huh. Because I noticed one thing, because they went oldies, WoWo did,
yeah,
in 94.
Yeah.
And the quality was very good, but they lowered the power.
Yeah, so that they could increase the power at WLIB.
Yes, and I noticed that, I was kind of like, you know, because before that was basically a clear channel station at night.
Yeah, it was a 1B clear, yeah, absolutely. Directional, highly directional, but yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Any other questions?
Any other questions? Well, I was going to ask Fran if she would make her a playlist because she's really good with the oldies.
Well, I don't know if she's interested, but she now has heard your suggestion, and we'll see what she does. All right.
Yes,
thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. In fact, Fran is on the line right now. You know, I can't imagine taking time to do these things, but many years ago, God, I guess the 70s, we used to, several of us oldies collectors would make oldies tapes that we'd kind of circulate, and then, you know, when it was our turn, we have to make one, but then when it wasn't our turn, we'd get tapes from four or five people. And I came across some of those cassettes recently, yeah, from Dr. Yacoil, Dr. Louis Yacoil, made me some great stuff. All right, well, I digress. So we'll get to Fran, and we'll get to Cindy, and there's room for you too. But right now, let's continue to talk radio for a moment while I tell you all about the CC Pocket. Yep, it's in my purse. It is one of the most popular pocket radios on the market for all sorts of reasons. For one thing, just like every radio that Bob Crane had a hand in developing, it has terrific reception. And I'll tell you what, it's real small, it can fit in your hand, and has unbeatable voice quality given the size of its speaker, but unbeatable AM/FM reception for sure. You know, you're not going to find another pocket radio that works as well as this. It's also digital readout. You know, it's got a clock, a timer, and all the alarms you want, but five memory buttons to instantly tune to your favorite station, and makes a great emergency radio, too, because it's got a lighted dial and the NOAA weather band with an alert. It's very durable, easy to hold, not great if you're blind, as far as I'm concerned. It's not... not your best choice. But if you can see, I'll tell you what, this is a great radio to have. I wouldn't be without it. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Pocket Radio, inexpensive too. And you can order it right online. And if you can't go online or if you have questions, give them a call. They can take an order by phone, but more to the point, they'll answer all your questions. 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, do it, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Pocket Radio. I love it. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
About. No one can understand. It puts you in demand. Say, I know one who has it, and she stands right out. Am I happy? Am I proud? You can pick her in a crowd, for she's got it. And plenty of it, brother, she's got it. I never saw another have so much of such and such. She's really not exquisite, but lips and eyes, just like a million others, still what made me fall. Now it ain't that, that ain't it, that is that, and it is it, say she's got it, that's all.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Ted Weems, the vocal is Parker Gibbs. She's Got It, 1927, and that was Cindy's request, who we're going to talk to. But I got to tell you that while I was listening to that, it occurred to me, yeah, She's Got It, that no, the quintessential Got It record, got to be, yeah, I Got It from Agnes.
I love my friends, and they love me. We're just as close as we can be. And just because we really care, whatever we get, we share. I got it from Agnes, she got it from Jim. We all agree it must have been Louise who gave it to him. Now she got it from Harry, who got it from Marie. And everybody knows that Marie got it from me.
So there you have it. And I know Fran in Austin is a fan of Tom Lehrer, as clearly am I. So Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, yes, I am. I love that song.
Yeah. Oh, me too. When I was listening to She's Got It, when I was pulling it out to play it for Cindy, I thought, oh, man, I got to play the definitive Got It song.
Yeah, you know, I have to wonder, where is Cindy getting all of these?
Weekend show, non-commercial radio. Same place
okay.
that Dave on the north side is.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, nothing I can do about it.
Right, I gotcha. Well, some of that stuff I like, but it little goes a long way.
Yes.
That's just me. Yeah. A little goes a very long way.
Yeah.
But speaking of a little going very long way, you have convinced me that I need to, I was going to go through my, because, you know, I had to take everything out of the kitchen and all that.
Yes.
I put all the cans back up and all that, and I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with them. There's no bulges in them.
Uh-huh.
So they've been through a couple of moves with
uh-huh,
me and,
right.
You know, all of that. But uh-huh. I think I'm going to have someone come over and help me with all these. The
yeah.
expiration dates are kind of hard to find, so it would take us hours, you know, to try to find it with our reading apps. But
I'll tell you, if it was last week at this time, I would have said, don't worry about it at all. Now I'm saying throw it out.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was my thought. I thought, well, you know, the cans don't have any bulges in them.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah, after all.
But, Oh, my God. Oh, well. But, yeah, that's no fun. But let's see. Oh, what else was I going to talk about? Oh, my gosh. My mind just got up and left me.
Yeah.
But, I was going to ask about just a little bit about blood pressure. You were talking to someone about the diastolic being the one you need to worry about.
Well, you see, now, by the way, this is old science. If you talk to a doctor today, they would disagree with me 1,000%. And, of course, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on the radio. I don't know any more than anybody else. I just grew up as a sick kid, so I have some basic knowledge from observing. Now, my whole lifetime, and they don't do it anymore, I always thought, and I still do, and I'm probably wrong, but I'm giving you the disclaimer because no one agrees with me anymore. I think the diastolic number, which is the lower number, is much more important than the systolic number.
That's what I was told several years ago.
Yeah, well, science has changed their mind, but not me.
Yeah, but like mine's been running in the 70s.
That's perfect.
Tonight was in the 80s.
That's all perfect. 70s, 80s, that's perfect. I mean, it is textbook perfect. If you can keep your diastolic in the 70s or 80s, man, more power to you. That's excellent.
Oh, because I've got two machines, and one says it tells me that, and it says, your blood pressure is high. And the other one, you know, doesn't tell me one way or the other.
No, if anything, if your diastolic was actual 70, some people would say, ooh, that's bordering on low, not on high. But now, science today says that the way to predict cardiovascular events is with systolic. But as I say, those of us who are very long of tooth, we knew that the number to fear was diastolic. So I just
Like 155 over 70 or 80. Or,
yeah, well, okay.
It goes up or down a little bit, depending.
Now, one of the things that happens, and by the way, this just tells me you're not a kid or you're older. When you're over 50, a lot of things happen, and the most dangerous, actually, statistically, is probably not your systolic or your diastolic. It's the difference between the two. In other words, let's say you had a systolic of 190 and a diastolic of 80. That's a problem. So you don't want to see that wide a spread, if possible.
Oh, okay. So I'm in good shape.
I think
my
so.
My mom.
I was going to say your systolic. Your systolic would be considered high at this point. I would say when you're over 140, you got something. You need to figure out why. But if you're in the 130s, I wouldn't worry about it at all. But if you're in the 140s and you're hitting 150, yeah, this is a problem. But your diastolic's perfect.
Oh, okay. So I was concerned about the wrong number, but it doesn't seem to be extremely high.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't even want to venture this on the radio, if you know what I mean, because this is something where if you're seeing readings that are over 130, let a real professional, somebody with a degree who knows what they're doing, advise you, not an idiot talk show host.
Okay. Anyway, you were talking about some of the stuff in your medicine cabinet, and I remember my mom used to use methylate.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We got the news.
Okay.
Stay right where you are. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, I don't know where he got it, but that was Dave on the north side who wanted heebie-jeebies. It's Louis Armstrong and his Hot 5, 1927. Okay, we're back to Fran. Sorry about that, Fran.
That's okay. We were talking about old medicines like methylate.
Yes, now methylate had the exact same problem as mercurochrome. It had mercury in it. But the interesting part is that methylate was actually a brand name for thimerosal, and that's what they still put in vaccines to this day as a preservative. So they don't sell any methylate, but that doesn't mean you're not getting thimerosal somewhere else.
Oh, my God. I remember hiding from my mother. I'd skinned my knee.
Ugh.
And I hid it from my mother because I didn't want her to put that stuff on because it hurt more than the skinned knee.
It stings. Now, that was the mercurochrome did not sting. But
Boy, the methylate sure did.
Yes, it did.
Unfortunately, I paid for that because the infection got in, and she said, "How come you didn't tell me about this?" I said, "Well, I didn't want you to put thiolate on it."
Right,
as a little kid. And she said, "Well, now it's infected."
Yeah.
Are you happy now? No.
Right. Right.
But and it reminds me of the old commercial for some of the old medicines. COMPOZ.
Yeah, compose, right.
Compose. Yeah, was that what, I took Milltowns for a while, and I loved them.
Yeah.
I wish they'd bring them back. I want them back.
Yeah, compose was over the counter, and it, scopolamine was in it, and a couple other things, that was the original formula. I know it's in some museums now, so I assume that it's not on the market.
Yeah, I used to take it. I remember even one time when I was a little kid, and somebody was babysitting me, and I don't know, I got really upset about something, and they gave me one of those to calm me down.
Okay.
And, it did, but when I got older, I bought some. It didn't do a thing. But the Milltowns, they did a lot more than my Xanax does now.
Yeah, no, they absolutely did. And they had their side effects, too. But, you know, Compose is still on the market, but not with the same ingredients.
Oh, okay.
So when you see it now, it's antihistamine, basically. But originally, scopolamine, and then there was another ingredient in it that was pretty much the same thing that was in Sominex.
Oh, I took Sominex,
yeah.
Of course, you know, having sleeping problems, I would always try to find things to help me sleep that were over the counter. And, you know, my mother was the kind of person that very seldom even would take an aspirin. So, you know.
Almost all of them were some form or other of, an antihistamine.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's and the first generation antihistamines, you know, the hydroxyzines of the world, they do have a soporific effect, and that was a side effect, and at some point they realized, oh, wait a minute, we can market this side effect as a benefit.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but so that's mostly what it is just antihistamines.
Oh, okay, yeah, but it's too bad I can't get that... Those Milltowns.
Oh, no, you will not. You will not. Forget about it. But like I say,
yeah.
I don't know if they actually pulled them off the market or if competitors, you know, just did them in. Let me see if I can find out. I don't know if it was pulled, but I know it just went away. Let's see what we have. Yes, discontinued, effectively pulled. Well, effectively doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And it was not withdrawn for safety reasons. Okay. It was withdrawn for competitive reasons. And when Milltown came out, the other thing that came out about the same time, and I'm sure it was the same fate, was Equinil. And that was... Equinil.
Yeah.
And what they did with Milltown, originally, it was not considered to be a controlled substance, but they reclassified it.
Yeah, because when I took it, it was in the 70s, and I had got it from my therapist, or, you know, went to a clinic and got it.
Yeah.
So, and then they used to give out Valium, and they don't anymore. And they're all hipped on Xanax, so I don't think Xanax works nearly as well.
Yeah, well, different effect. I would agree with you as far as that goes. But when Milltown was out, there were several Vermox and Bumix and Tricor. There were others. You know, they had a lot of them as far as that goes. Some of them were injectable and whatever. But in any event, yeah, I would agree with you that the stuff they're using today. You know, all of it, by the way, all of it, I don't care what it is, carries side effects. So the more you can do without using anything, the better off you are.
Yeah, unfortunately, I got on the antidepressant merry-go-round, and the problem is I have tried to get off of them, but when I do, I get, sometimes suicidal thoughts.
Right, a
like
whole
like,
rebound effect. Yeah, no, that's you have to be working with, and definitely you don't talk to a person on the radio, but you have to be working with somebody who really knows what they're doing. They can get you off.
Yeah.
They can get you off the stuff if you want to be, but it's, you know, there are things, and people do this all the time. They do it with blood pressure medicine. Next thing you know, they have a stroke or something, but you just don't stop anything cold turkey because you don't like the side effects or what have you. You know, you go to somebody who will help get you off it.
Yeah, I tried to do that with the antidepressants, and I, you know, took it down and down, and I thought I was fine for a while, and then, oh my God, you know, I just, everything upset me, and it was terrible. So no, I'm not going to do that again, although my psychiatrist doesn't think I should be off of them, but that's a whole, you know.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, they'd medicate anything, but, you know, society will, long after we're both gone, look back at these times. It truly is medical's dark ages, because the idea of whatever it is, you know, cure it with a pharmaceutical is not the way to go.
No, but... You know, it's like I want to get off of them for several reasons, but it's just, you know, I don't like the way I feel when I try to get off of them. But
right, that's why I say it's not something, you know, the old don't try this at home. But if if your doctor is resistant, then you find another doctor who will work with you.
Right.
Because sometimes it's substituting for another drug in the interim, not trading bad for worse or whatever, but just in the interim, sometimes something else will help you be able to lose the reaction. So, I would definitely talk to somebody, because there are a lot of people who would help you with that.
Yep, I will do that.
Yep, absolutely. So. All right.
Okay.
Well, you're sounding
next time.
You're sounding fine to me.
What?
So sounding just great. So that's my diagnosis.
Okay.
Fan is fine. All right. Thanks, Fran.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's right. The bill be in the mail. She sounds great. All right. So, but you just never know. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. But yeah, a lot of this stuff, when I say don't try this at home, have somebody knowledgeable who knows what they're doing. And, you know, doesn't have to be an MD or even, you know, an osteopath. It might be a naturopath, but somebody who has the goods who can help navigate things for you. Cindy in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
I mean, I didn't have that much to talk about, just that I got, I mean, it's really rare for me to get a migraine two nights in a row.
Ah.
But you know, so, but then, anyhow, I don't know. I mean, if it was sometimes physical work gives it to me, like housework.
Okay, could be. Yeah, absolutely.
And then sometimes I'll sit in my massage chair pad thing and do the, like, the ribs, and they're like, my ribs are so inflamed with, like, I don't know, like in knots, my ribs, and if that brings it on. But then, anyhow, the other thing I wanted to say is I went, you know, just to treat myself from being so sick, I went to Burger King for a double cheeseburger and fries And then I went to Dollar Tree and got all my pretzels and my potato skins. And I was really bad and had a bag of M&M's, which...
A bag of M&M's? And you tell me you have a headache? Yeah, no kidding. I bet you do.
Well, no, not today. I don't have the headache.
Yeah, a bag.
When I went to Burger King, I hadn't been there in a while. It's right down the street at Irving Park and Narragansett. And I just want to tell everyone to go to that restaurant, because, I don't know, just to go, because what happened was last year the boy, I guess he's about 24, and he's assistant manager, and he broke up a brawl in the restaurant part of it where the chairs are, and some teenage boy who was 17 stabbed him.
Uh-huh.
So when I went through the drive-thru, I asked if he was okay, he's back to work and everything. And I was so glad. He's just such a real nice boy, and he smiles, and he's so handsome, and just real, you know, good customer service. And I felt so bad that happened to him. And then the other thing was my third cousin, Evie, probably will be diagnosed with schizophrenia, and she wants to be a veterinarian.
Why, she wants to drive the animals crazy? No, okay, that could be fine. With the right medication and everything like else, you can be absolutely fine. And if you've got the academic chops to get through vet school, no reason why you shouldn't.
She's a straight A student in high school.
All right. So she should try it. But first, obviously, if you're saying she's about to be diagnosed with this, she's still undergoing some treatment and testing and all that. And so she should square that away first till she's on an even keel and then proceed.
Yeah, I guess she's only 17 and the mother isn't very bright. She's like, oh, maybe she'll grow out of it. And I'm like, you don't grow out of schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the mother, I've told you about her, and I just cut her out of my trust in Will, because she's brainless. All right, well, hopefully everything is okay.
All right, good deal. Hope you liked your request.
I love that kind of music.
I can tell.
I'm fascinated with that era.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay. Good deal.
Okay. God bless. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yes. It is coming to a close now, but I didn't acknowledge Cinco de Mayo, of course, which is not not the Mexican independence. Every time I hear people thinking that, I have to laugh. But also on May 5th, if you're wondering, that's when The Billboard debuted, and that's what it was. Billboard magazine was originally The Billboard, and it had been a monthly, and it became a weekly on May 5th, 1900, and it was great. I used to sit when I worked at Billboard in the archival room to look at the old issues, because originally, 1900, we're not talking very much about, you're not talking about records at all, maybe cylinders, but not really. It was mostly for carnivals and things like that, like Circus Needs Fat Lady or, you know, that kind of stuff, and the classified ads were the best part of all. So yes, The Billboard, and eventually they dropped The Billboard and it just became Billboard, which of course you know and love if you're a music fan. So 888-876-5593, we're going to get to some road rage with Eduardo. Well, we'll find out if he experienced it at either end of the equation. Dave on the north side about something I played. Wonder what that was. James on the south side. Yes, he gave me some stories, some interesting ones as well. And Clayton in Indianapolis, an issue with his grandma. Well, everybody's got to have one. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Now if you feel that you can't go on, because all of your hope is gone.
Four Tops for Linda in Richton Park, and I'll be there, and I'll be here right after the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Duke Ellington's version of Summertime, that was the one that I believe Dave on the north side wanted to hear. But I'll tell you, as far as, that was 1961, by the way, on Columbia. It was from an album, Piano in the Foreground. But when it comes to instrumental versions of Summertime, the George Gershwin song from 1934, man, I thought 1956 Uncapped that Roger Williams just nailed it. Have it. Not sure why I think that puts the other instrumentals to shame, but I really do. So indeed, Roger Williams. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Eduardo is in Tampa. So Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, good evening, Raleigh. Well, everything's normal. You know, Monday's orientation day.
Yeah.
And, I did all my vaccines and all that, so... I'm fine with that.
And you're still here to tell about it, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I even got some new gym shoes. I mean, when you go to orientation, you know, they even indicated, you know, look, dress nice. I mean, you have to wear like a suit and tie, but they said wear dress slacks and you okay. could wear like a collar shirt, so you don't have to wear like a shirt and tie
right.
or suit. So.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, dress clean, you know,
yeah.
presentable. So Monday and Tuesday is going to be orientation. And then Monday I get an ID. And I'm sure I'll know more information as far as what days I work.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but they do consist of 12-hour days. So I know that.
Well, that's all right.
And the hours are... 11 to 11.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so
not, that's
that.
Not bad. So it's what, 4 days in a row?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, it could be like every other day. It could be like a Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Okay.
Something like that. I mean, if they're 12-hour days, I would think you would skip a day.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll know more about that on Monday.
Okay.
Because management will be there, so.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'll have a story.
Or the oranges, but I'm sure they'll be there for a bit.
Okay.
So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Good.
It would have been great to commute in Tampa, but, I'm glad I know how to get to Brandon, so I know that.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's not a bad drive.
Yeah. So, I got my routes planned. I mean, I know how to get there and how to get back, so that's a good thing. I mean, 3 years,
Wow.
Even my nurse says, Eduardo knows how to, he knows his way around.
Wow, 3 years. Let me ask you something. On the screen, it says road rage. What happened?
Oh, yeah. I mentioned to John, because I've been mentioning this to other people I call into. Mr. O'Reilly yesterday had a list, and he mentioned the states with the most road rage and the least. And some of the states with the most road rage is Nebraska, Mississippi, Arkansas, Texas, Washington, South Carolina, Tennessee, Indiana, Virginia, Illinois.
Well, that's at least a third of them right there.
Yeah, and then the least, New Mexico, Nevada, Louisiana, Kentucky, Maine.
Well, yeah, but they don't have people. I mean, what kind of road rage do you have when the only thing you're seeing is a cactus?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I mentioned to somebody tailgating.
Yeah.
I mean.
But, I mean, in places, all kidding aside, in places like New Mexico or Nevada, yes, if you're in a place like Las Vegas or you're in Albuquerque, maybe. But for the most part, these are very rural states. Tailgating, hell, you're happy if you see another car. You know?
So, yeah.
So, yeah.
I would have thought it was like a Chicago, New York, L.A., yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, and then you wonder who compiles this stuff, and clearly they're not doing it on a per capita basis.
Yeah. I was going to do a little mini James. A couple other things I want to mention. This lady, I guess, was drunk who was chasing down the kid on the bike on the sidewalk.
What? I missed this.
Spokane, Washington, yeah.
Oh, Spokane. Well, so what else is new? All right.
Yeah, but I mean, she's going down the sidewalk after this kid, I guess, I don't know, but she was under the influence, so I was going to say, well, she's mad because the kid's riding the bike on the sidewalk instead of on the street, so.
Huh. Well, like I say, Spokane, why are we not surprised? When we moved to northern Idaho, our feeder city was Spokane, so we had to go there regularly for services. And it was interesting because we got a copy of the Spokane telephone book, of course. Now, this is going back 20 years.
Okay.
Well, so I have nothing to do. I'm looking through the phone book, right? Why not read the phone book? And I noticed that they had lots of coupons, and then they had one set of coupons, a pull-out section, and they had coupons for this for multiple use, and it was the biggest section in the Yellow Pages. Do you have any idea what it might have been? You're right.
I give up.
Bail bondsman.
Bail bondsman, okay.
Yep. So, and multiple coupons, good for, within the year. And I thought, oh, man, welcome to Spokane. I know I'm in for it now. But, and it didn't disappoint. So, yeah.
She'll need one.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we took a gun safety course there. It was needed, let's just say that.
Well, I think it would have been more appropriate when I heard this. Just mention one more story here. Speed running. So apparently these kids are running through the halls of the Church of Scientology.
I love it. In Clearwater?
Not yet, but the other branches they did.
Well, hey, the big headquarters are right there in Clearwater.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man.
Sure, they upped security, so I don't
so, know. So what's the deal? What obviously, if the kids are running through
it, it's a kid prank.
Okay.
So that's what that is.
Works for me.
Running through the halls, yeah.
Works for me. All right. Well,
come on with the weirdest stuff here, then.
Absolutely. Well, as usual, it's good to talk to you. I can't wait to hear about next week.
Maybe Thursday.
Okay, I'll look forward to it.
Shows, so, yeah.
Okay, yes, absolutely. Yep. All right, thanks.
All right,
appreciate
you.
It.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, thanks. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. Well, get to Dave on the north side. Yeah, I got another one of his requests coming up, although not by the artist he requests, but it's the best I could do. We'll see coming up. And James on the south side with stories, and Clayton, haven't forgotten Clayton and his grandma issue. John said, be prepared. John said, I don't understand, but you will. Don't have such faith in me. Coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, that was a hit from the movie Sun Valley Serenade, 1941, on Bluebird. And yes, Glenn Miller, and that was Paula Kelly and the Modern Airs doing the vocal. But it was Dave who wanted Artie Shaw and Frank Sinatra, and I'd love to play it, but I don't have it. So sorry to say, I don't have the record. So I played what I do. Hope you liked it. Are you there, Dave? We lost Dave. All right, well, hopefully he's listening, because I ain't playing it again. All right, so we go to Ken. Ken is in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Raleigh.
Yeah.
I don't... What is going on in the world? All humanity is gone.
Of course.
It's gone.
Yes, yes. Everybody's living on their last nerve. You're right.
I am driving home now from O'Hare Airport. I just got back from a small conference in Vegas.
Okay.
And get on the airplane, and I'm right at 8A, which is the first row right behind the bulkhead from first class.
Yes.
And they have that little wall up there, you know, between the two. We're getting ready to take off for taxiing, and the guy next to me takes his shoes off.
Okay.
And puts his feet up on the bulkhead.
Of course he does.
And I'm looking at it, and I have OCD to begin with. But this is beginning to drive me crazy. And I'm saying to myself the whole time, do I say something? Do I not say something? What should I do here? So we take off. We're flying. Oh, and by the way, his socks had the Grateful Dead logo on them.
Okay.
So we're flying, and finally I just turned to him and I said, you know what, screw it. He went ahead and opened the door doing this. I figured, you know, if he opened the door to this problem, I'm going to close the door.
Oh, see, I thought you meant he opened it literally, because that has been happening lately. Okay.
Yeah, I guess wrong analogy, sorry.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I said, do you have to have your feet up there? And he says, does it bother you? I said, do you think I'd be saying something if it didn't?
Right.
I said, you know, we're on the airplane together. I said, and this isn't your home. And I said, if you could take your feet off of there, I'd appreciate it. And he says, well, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
So we go back and forth, finally. I get up to go to the bathroom, tell the flight attendant. She says, yeah, I know, I saw it. Before you know it, we're flying. The captain comes out about 20 minutes later and tells the gentleman to put his shoes on and put his feet back down from the bulkhead.
I love it.
So he eventually did, but he was really aggravated. And I'm just thinking, I remember back in, well, I'm not that old, but I mean, you look at stories and pictures. People wore suits and ties. Now they roll out of bed in their pajamas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100% true. And yes, I used to fly when it was the good old days. And you would. You'd get dressed to the nines to fly. Absolutely, that was a thing. And it is astounding to me. I think this started to change tremendously in the 90s. But when you go back to the, you know, the 50s when I was flying, or even the 60s, most people, as far as the quote-unquote unwashed masses, they were still taking the bus. Flying was not for the everyday common person. And now it's obviously for anyone. And in many cases, I was talking with someone earlier who didn't realize that if you're looking at the Hawaiian Islands, when you're going island to island, you have to fly. There's no such thing as a boat. So, you know, it's the common transportation, and you get what it is. And you probably just heard where Delta is going to cut off any form of meal or snack or drink service on short-range flights for a coach. So, you know, it's not what it was, that's for sure.
Yeah, I had to call you. I mean, your show reaches out across the country here at night. And everybody, please, how about a little bit of decency? It's just, you know, common sense, which there is no common sense anymore.
No.
It's out the door.
But there, so, I can tell you a story that will make you feel more comforted and you will no longer care about anybody's feet. And it's an absolute true story. Middle East, going to the Hajj. And you know about that if you're Muslim, you know, once in your life, you got at least once, you know, you got to go do the Hajj. This guy opened a can of Sterno and brought the plane down. So, yeah.
I've had women do their nails.
Oh, absolutely. I know, odor and all. You've ended the hour on some lovely notes. I'm glad you're back and in one piece.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
Have a great night, Holly.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Okay, bye. Pick it up there next hour here on WGN Radio.
I can't stop loving you.
I've made up my mind to live in memories of the lonesome time.
I can't stop wanting you.
It's useless to say, so I'll just live my life of yesterday's,
those happy hours that we once knew,
long ago,
still make me blue.
They say that time
feels a crime.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Ray Charles, 1962, ABC Paramount. I Can't Stop Loving You. I forget who requested it, but it reminded me that that actually was a remake. Originally, it was a country song, and Don Gibson wrote it. WGN Radio. Yes, Don Gibson indeed. And that was a flip side, actually. That was the B-side to Oh Lonesome Me, RCA, 1957, and Don wrote both of them. All right, so Dave on the north side called back. Well, all right, very good. So we'll get him here in a moment. I got a full board of calls, so I will try to free something up and not be forever on the phone with each of you. Well, we'll see how it goes. All right, so I seem not to be able to do this. There we go. Dave, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello.
Yes.
You got disconnected earlier. I originally called in to tell you it was Robert that requested Heebie-Jeebie from Armstrong.
Oh, sorry about that. Robert did that. All right, I've got other Roberts as well. Sorry about that. Well, it was you, though, with Summertime, was it not?
Yeah, yeah. The other two songs were me. And yeah, that was, I believe that was it. But I thought that, I heard it Saturday on WDCB.
Yeah, it exists. I just don't have it. It does exist. I just do not have it.
If you wanted his version, he plays it for 2 weeks in his archive, so you could go back to it.
WDCB.com.
So, yeah, I heard it on there. But I thought he played Artie Shaw with Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And I won't say like Peggy Lee, but I don't think it's Peggy Lee. Someone else I played with Artie Shaw, some woman.
Yeah, well, that could be a lot of them. But yeah, I just, and I know Artie Shaw did it. I just don't happen to have it. But I did have the Glenn Miller. So that's why I played
it. Yeah, it looked cool. And you were right. It was from the Pleasant Valley Sunday movie. Or
yeah, whatever.
And I enjoyed the Summertime. I was like singing along with it, and I heard a version of it Saturday. I know you probably, there's like 1200 versions probably.
Oh, easy.
With someone singing, so I mean, I forget the words, but I was singing along at the minute. Not all of them, but yeah, I was like, Summertime.
Everybody from Sam Cooke on, I mean, that Ella Fitzgerald, there's, you know, like you say, there are over 2,500 recorded versions of that song.
I believe it. Every year on WDCB around Memorial Day weekend, they'll play like at least 20 to 50 different artists is doing that song over a five-hour period from like 12 midnight to 5 a.m. and stuff.
Well, I just looked it up, and according to this, it says there are 3,071 recorded versions of this song.
Wow.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I liked the double stop. I was like, yeah, two for Tuesdays. Like, I got a twofer.
Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, I like that Roger Williams for some reason. I always thought that was such a nice version of that.
I like that too. That was sweet.
Yeah.
It had a lot of rhythm to it. Yeah.
Bluesy.
Yeah. It was like sweet, like back, like down in the swampland type of like to it. I want to ask, you were talking earlier, you were doing a commercial for Sea Crane.
Okay.
And you're talking about the pocket radio. And
yes.
I've heard you and Fran talk about it before. Does it have a touch screen?
No.
Like the smartphone?
No.
You can actually feel the buttons on it?
Yeah, it's got a digital readout, but it is not interactive to touch at all. For everybody I know who cannot see says, don't get this radio. And everybody I know who can see says, get this radio. So I kind of take it at face value. I would not advise anyone try it who cannot see, because it just doesn't have what you need tactily to be able to really navigate it well.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I was talking to people at Sea Crane. I just got a magazine from them. I updated it. I had a couple old ones, so I needed a new magazine because the products had changed over the last couple of years.
Okay.
They just discontinued a couple models of a couple of radios and stuff.
Oh, sure.
So I got a new catalog, and the lady was trying to talk me into it. I asked her if it was like a touchscreen of a smartphone and how hard it'd be for a blind man to use, and she told me you could feel the buttons on it and you'd be able to program it and work it yourself.
Well, somebody else could program it for you and you could work it yourself, but like I say, of all the products, it's not the one I'd advise if you just cannot see.
Do you remember solid state radio?
Sure. Well, you mean as a brand name?
Yeah.
And I don't know what, not too long lived, but it was around.
Like, yeah, okay. I thought they were like in the 70s or 80s or something.
It was around for a little while. And of course, you know, based on solid state, meaning it's transistors rather than tubes.
Yeah. But I went to like a Goodwill store when I was first in Chicago in one neighborhood, and I found this little solid state. It was like in a dark blue radio, and it sounds like about the same size as that little pocket radio. It's like maybe 3 inches by 5 inches by an inch thick.
Uh-huh.
And it just had like two roller knobs on it.
Yeah.
The one had like power, it would click on, and then the volume would go up. And then the other one, it would have a switch for AM and FM, but it'd have a roller to change the channels and stuff.
Right.
And I got it at the Goodwill probably for under $2.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But it was like perfect little radio with a telescopic antenna and stuff. But when I got evicted out of the building, my landlord or someone stole it from me. And I wish I could find one like that. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be perfect for me.
Yeah, and you just never know. You know, eBay has a lot of stuff where you come across something where you say, wow, this is what I want. But, you know, that's requiring a certain amount of patience because when you look, it may not be in there. But then a few months later, something else is there that you say, yeah, it's great. So kind of make it a hobby.
Yeah, but with eBay, you know, some things they overprice. They know they can get the price because it's nostalgic and stuff.
Yeah, but you're smart enough to know. And if you get something, of course, that doesn't work, they have to take it back. So you're not stuck with it.
I've been searching for, like, through the Goodwill stores and the Abbott and stuff. I got another couple of things I want to talk to you about. That guy David from Itasca, is it? He called earlier, and you were talking about radio stations with him.
Okay, yes.
And then he asked for Fran.
Yes. That's David Muskegon, yes.
Muskegon, okay. I was thinking, I don't think Fran really has the time for that, the way she talks.
Well, I don't know many people who do.
Right? But I was thinking he ought to listen to Johnny Gomes' Sounds of Houston on Sunday.
Oh no, soulofthecity.net.
Okay, and through his computer and stored in his hard drive, every Sunday he could be recording his stuff, and then he'd have his set list. And that makes sense to me. That's easier than asking people. Yeah, you could just do it yourself.
Yep.
And another thing I was thinking of, what about you? Help Johnny Gomes do like a commercial on WGN on Sunday nights.
Johnny does this as a labor of love. He's not going to be spending.
I know you got
not going to spend money to buy a commercial.
I know. That's where I figured you'd come in and finance him.
Well, I see. Okay. Well, and we'll flip over all the cards. Dave is insane. All right. So.
I've been listening to Cindy for a while.
I think it's rubbing off.
That was insane what she was talking about the other night. I was like, oh, God. It's like, we're going to find someone dumped in the river.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking for the blue radio now. Of course, it's driving me crazy that you want
to. And Lisa, too, was talking some insane stuff. I think it was Lisa talking about people in Chicago and that. And people in Chicago are nuts. Neighbors are crazy, like what she was saying sometimes. You just got to ignore them.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they bring their problems out into the public. And it's like, just go back in your house and be quiet, please.
Yes.
Yeah, but they do. They drag it out and let everyone hear about it. Like, 2 a.m, whatever. And like, they don't care sometimes. But you just got to ignore it. Turn the radio on or put your headphones on and ignore it. Yeah.
You betcha. All right. Well, good to hear from you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for waiting.
Hey, I know you're a family station, so I'm wondering about this request. Would you play something from Dr. Clayton for me?
Like what?
I don't know right now. I'd have to review like his titles of his songs.
Yeah. Well, you find it. I'll listen off the air, and then we'll decide.
Okay. Yeah, because I know some of his music's kind of on the raunchy side.
Well, raunchy's all right, you know, but my credo is I don't want to lose the license. So I'll listen to it and we'll decide.
That's why I asked if it wasn't too...
Well, it depends. It depends what it is. I'll take a listen.
And how about some old Ike Turner?
Oh, yes. Talk about raunchy, but not in the same sense. Okay, you betcha. I'll do it.
Yeah, because I know he's more... Yeah, he's not as bad.
Nope. So. All right, good deal. Like, well, thanks, Dave. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. And I want to find that radio. And Solid State, you know, it wasn't a brand as far as, manufacturer. It was a term, obviously a term for the fact that it's a transistor radio, but a number of companies in the early 60s especially had right on the front of these radios, Solid State. And then you'd look a little further and find out it's by some company in Malaysia or something like that. But so that makes it a little harder. I think Sharp once in about 1970 had one, Solid State. And there's others as well. But I remember that blue one. So that'll drive me crazy. But yeah, that little Sharp one was kind of neat. It was red, though, as I recall. And yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593, the things that will keep me up at night, I'll tell you what. So hopefully Eric in Minneapolis heard his Robert Lamb because we did play it tonight, and we'll find out about that. Chuck in Rockford, Road Rage. Ruth in Gurnee, Hawaii. Well, why not? James on the South Side, stories, and he's been sending me stories, so we'll go over those two coming up on WGN Radio.
There's a man in my house, he's so big and strong. Goes to work each day and he stays all day long. Comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never frown, always a smile. When he says to me, how's my child? Say that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color him father. I think I'll color him love. I'm gonna color him father. I think I'll color him love. He says education is a thing to complete, because without it, life just ain't very sweet. I love this man and I don't know why, except I'll need his strength until the day I die. I think I'll color him father. I'm gonna color him love. Got to color him.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Linda Martell, and I'm not 100% sure. I think it was Robert who requested it, but why not the original Winstons? But Linda Martell was kind of interesting. She had three country chart records. She's a African-American singer from South Carolina on the country charts, and that was the biggest of it. Got to about number 22, which, well, heck, the original, the Winstons, one thing about the Winstons, they never charted with anything else, and that got to number two in 1969, and they wrote it, a group from Washington, D.C., on Metro Media. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Robert who wanted that. So that was the Linda Martell, and absolutely paled in comparison to the Winstons.
The man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile when he says to me, "How's my child?" I say that I've been studying hard all day in school.
And so, yeah, that's a medley of their hit, but not a medley of what they left for us. Now, the Winstons, like I said, are from Washington, D.C. They were not around for very long. They got to number seven on the pop charts, number two on the R&B charts. And what it was touring. And there was an interracial lineup in this group, and they were just heckled as far as that goes. Ironically, that Linda Martell was from South Carolina, because I think that was about when they said, "Let's give it up." But it's the B-side of that song, Amen, Brother. And I'll have to pull that out. You probably have heard it but don't know it, because Amen, Brother, it's got a six-second drum solo in it, and it wins the award, and I don't know if it's been broken since then, for most sampled pieces of audio in music history. And that was a deal. They didn't see any real money from it, unfortunately. In fact, there was a GoFundMe campaign for Richard Spencer, who had the hit and all that, and sadly died in 2020, 78 years old and in poverty. G.C. Coleman, who played Amen Break, he was the drummer for that, died in poverty, never got royalties from the thousands of times his drum solo was sampled, and I do mean thousands, so that's the deal. So, all right, and I'm pretty sure it was Robert who wanted to hear that, but we'll talk more about, well, we probably won't, but we'll talk to you after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, the Winstons call him Father. That's the flip side, Amen, Brother, and instrumental. But what it is that six-second drum solo from that has become the most sampled instrumental, I think, of all time, and none of the Winstons got a dime. But you may recall it. There you go. And yeah, my favorite as far as drum solos, Holy Ghost, Barquet's, definitely. But that one's the one that got the most exposure. All right, Clayton is in Indianapolis. And John says, "I'm going to hear a story." All right, Clayton, what's the story?
Hey, Raleigh. It's actually good to talk to you. I'm not going to be on for very long. At least I'm going to try not to. But I think 5 days ago, and I'm sure everyone's been through this, who has special medical needs, everyone's been through this at one point in time or another. A family member is still in the denial phases, even 4 months after. As you know, I'm totally blind. after having moved out of my previous home, I developed incontinence because I was put through at home, causing so much stress that it damaged the nerves that control my bladder.
Okay.
Well, my grandma, not biological, by the way, she's still in denial, and one night, about 5 days ago, over text message, we kind of got into it a little bit and had a falling out, and ever since then, she has not even tried to reach out to me, and I'm sure you probably could understand that in a way.
Well, first, let me ask you, what was the falling out? You say it was over that issue. What was the difference of opinion?
She was thinking, because, and I know this is going to sound funny, but I wear diapers to manage. And she's like, well, you don't, why do you not need those when you were back at home, but now all of a sudden you need them? And I keep trying. Well, the stress of what I went through back at home for like 8 years prior to leaving for college caused damage to the nerves that control my bladder, and I'm not going to get control of that back then.
All right, and so she doesn't understand this, and she thinks she ought to just buck up and remove the diapers and be just fine. Here's the bottom line to this. All you can really do is say, thanks for your thoughts, because you're not going to convince her of otherwise, and it really doesn't matter. Leave her to her own devices there and realize there are certain things you don't want to discuss with her.
Yeah, and I was like, there was one thing I said over the text message thread, and I was like, well, I was like, here's the thing. This, I know that you and I have different beliefs on this thing, but I don't want it affecting our relationship. And then she sent me a really long text message, like, oh, don't contact me for a while.
All right, so don't.
And
so don't.
One night. Yeah.
Let her be. What you're talking about is extreme emotional stress leading to overactive bladder, and that causes the involuntary problem. And so there's many things involved with that, and she could actually probably easily look this up. I'm sure it's online or on YouTube or something. But it's a known thing, to say the least. And don't add to your anxiety by arguing with her. Just say thanks for your thoughts.
Yeah, and like, she was trying to get me to sort of like consider a reusable option or getting cheaper stuff. I use diapers that are insanely thin. I just have no control whatsoever. And so she doesn't understand that. And try as I might, it's gotten to a point where I'm not trying to explain it
right
anymore.
And but don't, just don't. There are some subjects that with some people need to be off limits for whatever reason. Don't trouble yourself. Now let me ask you, medically, are you on Medicaid?
I am, but they don't pay for that. They don't see.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. So they don't see this as a medical necessity.
Right, they don't see the diapers, like the ones you use, but they'll pay for like the absolutely cheap stuff.
All right.
The problem is the cheap stuff, I just go through insane amounts of it, and it ends up becoming more expensive
in
actually getting going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it that extreme emotional stress can do this. There's also the hope that you can get a handle on that somehow. That's not easy, but with therapy in there, again, I assume that's not covered either. But you can be working on this, because it's not a reaction that needs to be permanent.
Yeah. But the problem is, therapy is not going to fix, because that did permanent damage.
Well,
I'm not going to get control back.
Well,
and I've come to realize that.
But there's probably more of it you can control than you are, but it takes a lot. And it might not be worth it. It may just be easier to just buy the diapers and say, screw it. But certainly, given your history of extreme emotional interactions, I would look at people and realize what they could or could not tolerate in terms of conversation and all that, and just placate them.
You're not going to win.
You're not going to convince her of something, quote unquote. So, if she wants to be left alone, fine. If she wants to reach out again in the future, fine. But just make it kind of an off limits discussion. Say, oh, I'm doing very well with that. Let's just not talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I've tried to do. I've done that.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Still, even gets about the money that I spend on those, but. Knowing that insurance doesn't cover them,
right.
That's the problem. That's one of the core problems.
Yeah. And, it would be good if there were some charitable entity that would, because sometimes that occurs, and I don't know what it would be. You'd really, maybe one of your doctors can look into this, like a urologist or whatever, to see if there's any entity that would, in fact, help in this. And there might be. That I don't know. But
yeah, I do get, because I just switched to a different Medicare plan, like a Medicare Advantage plan through the government.
Yeah.
And I get like $9 towards that stuff, but I do know the company I go through for my stuff, North Shore, I use their products all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that just to advertise them. I use their stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I run my own radio show on Facebook, and I do all kinds of North Shore advertisements on there. No, they don't pay me to do it. I just do it out of a labor of love.
Okay.
And they don't accept insurance.
Right.
Yeah, I spoke with them on the telephone. Yeah, I place all my orders by phone.
And that's fine. And a lot of entities will not accept insurance. And usually those are the ones you want to deal with. But it is as it is. And of course, when you're on Advantage, you have some even stricter requirements as to what's covered and how it's covered. I get that. But I assume you've been through things like ultrasounds and cystoscopies and all that, to where they've urodynamic testing, the standard stuff to see what's going on there.
And that's where the stalemate is. Like, I know they're not going to find anything structurally wrong with the nerves. It's the signal that's real badly screwed up.
But that can be corrected. Now, not easily, but that can be. But when you do the urodynamic testing, do you have a lot of post void residual left, in terms of that?
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, see, so that's something they can work on. So that's definitely something that's structural, and it's showing up there.
Yeah, and then the interesting part about this is I've been to the doctor, but I've had something else that I had looked at. But also, the co-pays, even through insurance, are insanely expensive.
Yeah.
So unless I'm in dire need, I don't go to the doctor. Just insanely expensive.
It's really
a shame. No matter how you do it.
Yeah. Really a shame. Well, one of the things you obviously can do in your life is voluntarily cut the stressful interactions, like with people like your grandmother, where you can just make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position where you know what the outcome is going to be.
Yeah, and that's I started doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I've been like, I during a text conversation, I've asked her twice to not discuss it, and she still brings it up.
Well, you don't have to engage. She can bring it up, and you can change the subject.
And that's the last time I did that. That's what I did.
That's all you can do. You know, say, yeah, I got it. Thanks for your advice. Now, what about, and talk about something else.
Oh, yeah, I've done that.
Yeah.
With other people.
Sure. It's sad, but that's what you've got to do to navigate with people like that, because a real discussion is not going to help you in the long run. Not with her.
Yeah, I run a radio show that's disability and special needs oriented called Group Chat Radio. Me and a good friend of mine.
And it's on Facebook?
Yes.
Okay, so if I go to Facebook, not that I really can because I'm not a member, but what would I look for?
Group Chat. Once we start, because we're not carrying it on there right now, but okay. I am on there. I am on there, and I usually do podcast on there sometimes, bad weather. That would be for, obviously, you would look up something like, you just look up my name,
okay.
Honestly.
Okay.
And you'll see my most recent stream. And that's where, because I run my own small Facebook-based radio station, AM 640 WATC, the voice of Indianapolis. And usually when the weather gets bad, we're on. We're on covering it. If doing group chat radio, we're usually on covering it. My stage name or music name is The Furry Baby, and so there is a radio show I run as well called The Furry Baby Hotline. And that's more, I'm going to say, and I know you've kind of expressed your distaste for it, but it's more disability and adult baby oriented.
All right. Well, when you're ready to publicize it, you'll let us know what the name is on Facebook that people can look up, and we'll check it out.
Well, Group Chat Radio, I already will be carrying that soon.
When I go to Group Chat Radio, I have one called Radio Group Chat, but I don't see Group Chat Radio.
Yeah, that's because we're not carrying it right now.
All right, so when you're ready, you'll let us know.
Yeah, whenever you just look up my name, you'll see my latest broadcast.
Yeah,
now,
but see, I don't think you want to give your last name out over the air.
Oh, I yeah.
So
not over this station.
Right. Well, not over. Yeah. That. Right. So you know, I don't expect you to do that. But when you're ready with a URL or a page name on Facebook that people can look for it, let us know.
Yeah, I wonder how I create my own. Well, I have my own profile, but can I create sub pages within it? Like, for example, if I name it AM 640 WATC.
I'm no expert on Facebook, but I know you can probably create a number of pages in a number of ways, either within their rules or not. So you can probably do what you want to. And of course, when you have a page, you can then name it. So it doesn't have to have, when people look it up, Facebook.com, it doesn't have to have like 14 letters not in a row. It'll say Clayton whatever or group chat whatever, you know, so you can do that.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Plus, I do take call-ins on my shows,
okay.
And I usually give that number out over my station, especially when there's bad weather.
Okay.
I fortunately haven't had anybody call in from the Indy Metro area, but when it would get real bad and we'd start getting the warnings, yeah, you'll sometimes hear the weather radio going off in the background.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, keep us posted.
All righty.
Good luck. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Why am I doing this? The problem here is that I'm going to run out of time, but of course I've got tomorrow night. Yes. Gary in Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, hey, Raleigh, a couple of things. A quick thing to Clayton. Sometimes ignoring is the best thing. If his grandmother says something in a text, that is something he doesn't want to deal with, just don't even acknowledge it.
Exactly.
Just go on to the set, because, you know, one thing about texting, you can always just not answer certain parts of a text.
Exactly.
Just answer what you want to answer and disregard the rest.
Yes, I agree, 100%.
You know, and I've learned in my life to ignore a lot of things that, you know, people have said that I don't think it's really their business.
Right.
I just ignore it and go on.
Exactly.
And about the pocket radio, it's a very easy to operate.
Really?
I mean, I've programmed hours.
Okay. This is good to know, because I've heard just the opposite. And if you've programmed it, I'm sure it can be done, obviously.
Yeah, you know,
that's
very good to know. I've programmed stations by formats and all this stuff.
All right.
I just put them wherever I want.
That's excellent to know.
They do have an audio tutorial on the website for the Pocket Radio and the Skywave.
Oh, good. That's excellent to know.
They may have for others.
Yeah.
They have audio tutorials for those. But no, it's a very usable radio.
Okay,
so
good.
I was kind of surprised that you had heard that blind people weren't.
Yeah, I have absolutely heard that repeatedly. And I am thrilled to know that it is not necessarily universal, that it can be done.
And,
good.
It's just all you have to know is what Fran loves hers and, you know, so.
All right.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention those things.
Well, that's excellent to know. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, hopefully he can get this straightened out, but just leave her alone.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you. You know, in a phone call, obviously, you have to deflect it differently, but text is just beautiful. You just don't act like you got it.
Yeah, just ignore it.
Exactly,
you know? You have three or four subjects, you just do answer two of the three or four subjects.
Or none.
You know, depending on what they are, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, or none, yeah. Don't answer the text. So,
exactly.
But hopefully it'll work it out, so.
Well, good.
All right.
All right,
well,
thanks. I'm glad you called. I appreciate that. It's really good to know. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, bye. So, yeah, all right. So, disservice to the Pocket. Didn't mean to do that. So, maybe Dave can rethink that, and maybe the advice he got is good. All right. Eric in Minneapolis, did you hear your request?
I sure did.
Okay,
and
good.
Thank you so much. I mean, that was, I just was coming inside the RV after turning on the propane. I walked inside the door and I heard the first note. I said, oh, thank goodness I didn't, because that was just coming out of a news break. So, I was like, oh, perfect timing.
Good.
Yeah, so I also heard you mention something around that time about the song Sugartown.
Yeah, well, I play the flip side, which is a request.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah, Summer Wine, that's what Kimberly wanted to hear.
What? No, I like that song Sugartown because it mentions Tallahassee.
Okay.
And a little old, the lady that sings it, she's... She says, like, it rained in Tennessee, it also rained in Tallahassee, but not a single drop fell on little old me.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's Lee Hazelwood wrote it. Yesterday it rained in Tennessee, I heard it also rained in Tallahassee, but not a drop fell on little old me, because I was in Sugartown.
Sugartown, yeah. Now, who's the artist?
Nancy Sinatra. It's Frank Sinatra's daughter.
No kidding. I never knew that.
Yep. Frank Sinatra's daughter, Nancy.
I've heard the song a few times.
And the guy who wrote it and produced it is Lee Hazelwood, a guy from Arizona.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's nice. Do you know what year that came out?
1966, and it was a flip side, like I say.
So it wasn't. So it didn't get any radio airplay during
Yeah, it got radio airplay, and it charted. It charted both pop and country. Yeah, and that was 66. And, that was, I'd say that was a moderately big hit. It got, it did better than Summer Wine, as far as that goes. You know, that was the flip, that was the request. So, I played it more than once on the radio. Whether I wanted to or not, but I'm pretty sure I know it charted pop. I don't know that it charted country, but it definitely charted pop.
Well, that would happen sometimes, right? Because
of course.
Sometimes by accident, a DJ might play the flip side, the B side, or whatever. And that song would turn out to be better than the one that they thought was going to be more of the hit or something.
Yeah, but when they were playing records. I mean, it didn't happen by the mid-70s because no one was actually playing vinyl. But sure, people would flip records, sometimes not by accident, sometimes intentionally. Like the Penguins' Earth Angel, that was a B-side to Hey Senorita, and it was Huggy Boy who flipped it. So, yeah, that happens.
Hey, a couple other things real quick. I didn't know, do you know Sly and the Family Stone?
Well, sure. Sylvester Stewart was actually a disc jockey in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of trivia. I don't know if you knew his drummer. Did you ever know who the drummer's name for that band?
Well, there were a couple of them as far as that goes. Greg Errico was probably the original, the most famous, but a number of people. Jim Strasberg was a drummer for him, and Adam Vesner, and there was someone else. So there's been several, but Greg Errico was the original.
Bill Lorden was the guy I was thinking of. He's from Minneapolis.
Okay.
He played in the, and just a bit of a trivia thing, but you know, he played on when they did a live show with they were on Bandstand, Dick Clark's Bandstand, mm-hmm. doing Thank You for Letting Me Be Myself.
Yeah, he also did stuff with Robin Trower and the Mystics the Esquires. These were bands in Minnesota. So yeah, and John says you better shut up because the show's about to be over. But yes, absolutely. And Bill is still with us. He's about close to 80 now. All right.
Okay, that Robert Lamb song I'd like to get on is called "Swept Away" with Phoebe Snow.
Okay, we'll do it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Cool.
All right. So, Swept Away. I got to write this down because I'll forget it. Apologies to Chuck, to Ruth, to James. And James gave me stories, too. But there's tomorrow night. That's right. We always have tomorrow night. That's 21 hours from now. By all means, it'll be a big 3 hours, and I have absolutely nothing to talk about, so whatever's on your mind will be perfectly fine, and I promise to get to Chuck, to Ruth, and to James more quickly tomorrow night. Sorry that happened. And writing down Swept Away because I'm going to forget this, so all right. And we'll do that tomorrow night. Also, the requests we didn't get to, the three from Robert, the four lads, and Patty Page, and Vaughn Monroe, and Nat King Cole, a couple of them. But hey, there's tomorrow night. So until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. I really do. It's what makes the show a pleasure to do. Talk to you tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Medicare Money Mayhem, plus Orger in the Court, and From Powerball to Prison. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Affordable Care Con. Fraud-fueled fiasco. Federal agents fan out fastening cuffs on a ring of rogue racketeers accused of a massive Medicare money milk. Prosecutors say a coordinated crew cooked up claims, cashed in big, and built the system for $50 million. From fake filings to phantom patients, authorities allege a brazen billing blitz that drained dollars meant for the sick and struggling. 8 suspects seized and a scheme shattered. Call it Care Turned Con, where healing help became high-dollar hustle and the house finally audited back. Houston, he has a problem. May we reproach the bench? In Texas, Judge Moody declares contempt of court against the IT guy. A quick computer fix turned into a hot bench when his honor hollered at the tech guy, ordering him to get out of his courtroom, then barking about finding the gearhead supervisor. Judge in fury later heard it from the legal community, but then ordered one complaining lawyer to appear in court. One angry man. Gall rise. Luck loot lunacy. Jackpot jolted justice. A Kentucky mega money man minted by a massive Powerball payday now nabbed for a baffling break-in. Cops claim the cash-heavy high roller raided a residence for a measly mound of money. From fortune to felony, authorities allege the suddenly wealthy winner went from celebratory spending sprees to suspicious small-time swiping. Investigators insist the irony is incredible. Call it millionaire madness, when winning wasn't enough and greed got greedier. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.